For me, anarchism is basically the freedom of everything and everyone. Like, it's the synergy between like being an individual but also being a community. So being in a community doesn't go in the way of individuality and vice versa, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, everyone's free. There's no authority, basically, because, you know, I think authority is inherently goes in the way of both the individual and, like, the community, in a way, yeah.
And is there a way you have that relate to your comics?
It does in the way that what I want to do with my comics is, like, bring, like, anarchist fiction, because I feel like there's not enough of that, and fiction can sometimes inform our ways of viewing the world, right? So what I'm hoping to do through my comics is, like, showcase that.
And do you mind if you'd like your name and, like, who you are, what you do?
Well, I'm Pendraku Comics, but my real name is Sam, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So my name's Gilbert. I'm a recent migrant. Oh, Gilbert, you see? I'm a recent migrant from Sydney in Australia to Montreal. And to me, reflecting on the past few months, anarchism for me is all about getting rid of borders, letting people live where they want to live and live the way they want to live, and letting everybody have a fair and just say in things. And I say that fully aware of my privilege as an individual, from my status in society, from my white privilege, income privilege, and so on. It's still something I personally very strongly believe.
Anarchism means, to me, a deep distrust of the state, and a desire to undo the state and state violence, while also looking to not replace it with other forms of hierarchy, especially like coercive hierarchy in particular.
And who are you? What are you doing here today?
My name is Andy, and I'm tabling for PM Press, and I help operate a radical bookstore in Binghamton, New York.
Awesome, thank you so much.
Yeah, so on one hand, it could be a theoretical set of ideas that, you know, I associate to and that I agree with. On the other hand, it can be a more concrete way of trying to organize with people and of trying to bring those ideas into the real world, right? I think maybe, you know, to me anyways, anarchism could be something along the lines of trying to create new, more just, fair systems. Whatever that means. Jury's still out.
That's fair. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, sure. I guess I also, like, see it as being, like, experimental in terms of, like, trying out new things that we haven't necessarily tried before and seeing if they work. But also, like, kind of always looking for hierarchies in our, like, even within our communities, and trying to undo them as they pop up, and figuring out, like, what kind of authority are we willing to tolerate, and which kinds are we, or do we have the obligation to, like, critique and, like, deconstruct? So just kind of, like, experimenting with hierarchy, where it's legitimate, where it's not, and undoing it to, like, the biggest extent possible.
Okay.
That was, like, a better way of saying.
No,
I love it. That, like, I would like to change my answer officially to what they just said.
I think that that's also what's, like, so important about anarchism, is that, like, there's not one fixed definition, and, like, each person, like, if you had asked me the same question 5 years ago, I would have given you, like, maybe a similar but, like, completely different answer, and that's, like, yeah, we just evolve, and, like,
yeah. So who are you, and what are you doing here today? And then you can take turns.
I'm James from Zira.
I'm Autumn, also from Zira, and we're just tabling for the library, which is located on Saint-Laurent, where we have, like, zines, archives, and anarchist texts, as well as, like, feminist, queer, black power literature. So we're here just kind of, like, tabling for the project, letting people know that we're out there.
Catch it a company, call Gunsman. Big guy, little, like, bouncing, play. Catch it a are tuned in to today's Free Kick Radio Show right here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name is Clara Swan, broadcasting today live from the Anarchist Book Fair, trying to stay cool with these sounds of the water drums from the Baca Forest people. We just heard from Crass from an album called 1984. And what is it? Best Before 1984. Big A, Little A. I'm the only me and you're the only you. Yeah. Very cool. I'm he and she is she. You're the only you. Song about pronouns. No, it's not. All right. Before that, we heard from... Who did we hear for? From before that. What did I play? Looking back here. Oh, yeah, it was Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler before that. And we also heard a couple of snippets of people's thoughts on what anarchism means to them today. We'll hear some more of those as we go forward. Waiting on a few people to come by the table to interview, to talk to about what they're doing here at the book festival. It's not just books. It's all kinds of workshops on how to get things done, organizing in your communities. It's voluntary associations, like Utah Phillips said. Yeah, I hope these little descriptions of what anarchism means to people is dispelling any myths you have about what anarchism is and who anarchists are. And yeah, it's all good. Josh, hey, look, it's Josh Hawley. Josh, do you want to speak on the radio with me? Well, I'm on the radio right now. You sit down and you can talk to me right now and tell me all about your housing work in Ottawa.
Good to see you again.
Here I have Josh Hawley on the line. Sitting right in front of me here in the hallway at CETA at 2515 DeLille. Josh. Josh is from Ottawa. You want to tell us a bit about what, you, what you're working on in Ottawa?
Sure. Right now, in the Sandy Hill neighborhood of Ottawa, which is like right next to the University of Ottawa, some rooming house tenants are still fighting eviction as we speak. It's been ongoing since the summer of 2020.
Right.
Yeah, the first wave of COVID, the landlord like immediately slammed these tenants with rent eviction notices.
Heartless.
Yeah, there's three tenants. Four tenants have died in the last year and a half. It's a real, real tragedy, but it's also a real example of struggle and of resistance, because a real strong group of, these rooming house tenants have been able to keep their homes and continue fighting.
It's important work. Stopping people from being unhoused is so important.
All landlords are predatory, but this one in particular is really scooping up a lot of rooming houses and sort of, you know, rental housing that's like one step above like the shelter system, that type of... So they're really scooping up this housing. It's called this company called Smart Living Properties, and they're converting it into like luxury student housing.
So they're still
keeping it as rooming houses, but it's obviously targeting an entirely different demographic.
That's what I would call pure evil.
Yeah, it's very, very bad.
Very evil. So you're the co-editor of a book about the Milton Park community here. It's called Villages and Cities. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's a very good book. Anybody who lives in the city and wants to know about or anywhere really, and wants to know about a vibrant community land trust movement and largest co-op in North America, I believe, or largest group of co-ops in North America.
Yeah, they're talking about it in one of the workshops going on right now. Tenant Organizing 101.
Right, where you were in that one, eh?
No, I'm not presenting. I was just...
Oh, you participated?
Yeah, just in the audience, yeah.
Can you give me a rundown of maybe anything that was useful that you learned in there, or that other people might have learned that maybe you already knew?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that that's what the presenters are touching on, is that you can't skip door knocking. There's no shortcut to having meetings and talking to neighbors and... identifying common issues and really the importance of demands, of working class people coming together to set up a list of demands for their landlord. And I see that, you know, I have a few differing opinions from the speakers, but I do think that that is that is the revolutionary spirit, is the people struggling and creating demands and building their confidence up enough, overcoming divisions amongst working class people and presenting demands to landlords. And then no matter what the outcome, you know, ideally, like, they're able to have some wins. But under the system, it's hard to imagine how we're going to break free in you know, overnight, right? So I think the revolutionary spirit exists in that struggle, in that spirit.
Indeed,
of struggle.
Yeah. Tell me, though, this is when we talk about landlords in the sense that you're speaking now, are we talking about, like, landlords who own multiple units, like larger properties? Is that what we'd be correct to think that?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of, in a lot of cities, there's a concentration of housing that's occurring.
So very much so. Right?
Even in Montreal, where you have maybe a higher, stronger history of smaller landlords, even landlords who live in their
I'm thinking about, you know, can we think of some landlords being predatory if they're just renting, they have a duplex and they rent out the apartment above and pay most of their mortgage with their tenants.
Totally, but rent. Yeah, you're right. There is an absolute sort of like monopolization occurring with huge companies coming in. I mean, Achilles is huge in Montreal.
Yeah.
They're, I think, from Sweden. And yeah, that's an interesting point, because then, like, some tactics that might have been effective against smaller landlords become less effective with these bigger ones.
Right.
Or effective for different reasons.
Right.
So, like, in that workshop that's going on right now, they're talking about rent strikes.
Yeah.
And that, I think, can hit smaller landlords for a different reason that it'll hit. Or you have to adapt your strategy. Because smaller landlords are actually relying relying more on rent collection, right? That is their bread and butter. The big, huge corporations, they don't even care about rent collection. They care about, like, an image, like, creating an image and, like, selling their property to their investors. And how do they sell their properties to investors? It's in booklets. You know, the investors are not coming to see the property with their own eyes. They're looking at it. They're looking at this, like, imagination of what the property is. So a rent strike can still be effective against a large corporation, financialized corporation like that, but maybe for different reasons. And that would be more for PR, because these big financial corporations, PR is their bread and butter.
Right.
Selling images, selling visions of what, you know, value or what, like, profitability looks like.
That's really cool. I'm glad you're – thank you for your work, for all your dedication to helping out tenants in Ottawa. And the lessons that you learn, it would be great to see that communicated in a forum like this, where we have like-minded people looking for solutions.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for the impromptu chat.
No, thank you for dropping by the table. Yeah, Josh Hawley, activist from Ottawa, housing activist. Thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, take care. Andy, sit down, Andy. Talk to me on the radio. We're live on the air here, Andy.
All right, very good. That's the best way to be.
That's the best way to be. We got Andras Gollner here. He's the he was just giving a book talk here about his most recent book, the 1919 Hungarian Revolution, the Impossible Revolution, is what it's called, right? How was your book talk just now?
Well, it wasn't as large a turnout as we had hoped for, but it went. We had a lively discussion with a few people.
Great. Can you recap the discussion? Was there anything interesting that was brought up in the discussion?
Well, just basically some questions about what the thing was about and why it's unique and what were the unusual aspects of this event.
So why is it unique, and what are the unusual aspects?
Well, the reason why it's unique is that there was no revolution such as this in Europe ever. And it's very different, the 1919 revolution in Hungary, from the German Revolution of 1918, from the Austrian Revolution of 1918, and from the Russian Revolution of 1917. Because this is one where there's no vanguard. There's no political party leading the revolution. It comes from the bottom, from the base, as it were, and it was based on councils.
Yes.
Run by local communities, and power went from the bottom to the top rather than from the top to the bottom. So it was a very unique rebellion which scared the living daylight out of the great powers, the great imperial powers at the time, who were redrawing the map of Europe in Paris in 1919, because there was a serious worry that this virus, revolutionary virus, might become catchy and would spread to the other parts of the world.
So I've recently been reading James Scott's Two Cheers for Anarchism. There's a book from Pluto, from Princeton Press, I think. And he mentions in the introduction that pretty much all revolutions end up having a consolidation of the state with more powers. That
yes.
Even if we have these revolutions from below, eventually there's reactionaries who come in and they take over, and they in fact increase the powers of the state beyond even what was imagined as being the reason for the revolution to begin with. But you're saying that the 1919 Hungarian Revolution, at least for a moment, reversed that trend.
Well, it was heading in the right direction. The problem is that it attracted so much negativism from the neighborhood, from the local countries around Hungary, not to mention the great powers, and not to mention the friends of the revolution who, on the left, one would have expected would come to the aid.
Yeah.
But Lenin was petrified of giving all power to the Soviets, even though he coined this slogan. He took the power away from them as soon as he was in power.
Right.
Power. This is the time when the anarchists and the Bolsheviks split. 1922 was the big split. And the Bolsheviks wanted the revolutionary movement to be led from the top by a small revolutionary gang or band called the Communist Party. The anarchists didn't believe in this, and they said that it must be the people from the bottom up who should be in power, and any attempt to grab the state and run with it is going to create a very precarious situation. Trying to control the state and dominate the people through the state is a threat to the revolution itself. And so the Hungarian 1919 revolution of councils was unwelcome by everybody in the neighborhood.
Right.
By the social democrats in Austria, unwelcome by the social democrats in Germany, unwelcome by the Bolsheviks in Russia, because it was much more anarchistic than vanguard led.
So. That revolution was then overturned by active intervention from foreign powers, such as the Soviets.
Yes, active intervention. The neighborhood, the Romanians. In fact, the Romanian monarchy's troops invaded Budapest. They were armed by the French, and they were working for the French imperialists. And they were at their beck and call, and they invaded. But Hungary was also blockaded by the great powers, by France and Britain and the United States. So both the imperialist powers and the local neighbors ganged up on the country, and they didn't get any help from their friends, the Austrians, the Social Democrats, or the Russians. The Russian Red Army refused to come in and help out. And so the country was eventually strangled. It wasn't the revolutionary government wasn't overthrown internally.
Right.
There was no counter-revolution as such. It was invaded. Romanian troops marched into Budapest, and Béla Kun and his revolutionary council had to fled the country. They went to Austria, to Vienna.
Yeah.
And eventually they sought refuge in the Soviet Union. And in the 30s, during the purges, they were all executed by Stalin. Mm.
So do you see any parallels going on today, or any movements that sort of resemble the 1919 Hungarian Revolution?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Where do you see that these days?
Absolutely. The closest resemblance is the Zapatistas movement.
Yes.
And some of the national liberation movements in the South. But the closest that I can think of is the Zapatistas, and many of the reflections of Subcomandante Marcos are very much evocative of the messaging of the 1919 Republic of Councils. But another very close contemporary model is Rojava, the Kurdish freedom movement of,
Syria,
of
yeah.
Abdullah Öcalan, which is also very similar and is fed by the same well of ideas as was the Budapest or the Hungarian 1919 Republic of Councils.
Wonderful.
Giving all power to the local councils, very egalitarian, ecologically sustainable communal well-being, justice-based, constitutionally guaranteed equal rights. These are all part of the Rojava Revolution. They were part of also the Spanish Revolution of 1936 against Franco. And this was the key element also of, as I said, this is the key element of the Zapatista movement in Mexico and some of the Latin American liberation movements.
So it's interesting. I've always said about, the Zapatistas are a good example. You can't really have the intervention of foreign states because it's an internal thing to Mexico, right? It's internal to Mexico, so
yes.
there's not really... they haven't taken over the entire state, so
yes.
they're sort of isolated from foreign powers coming in and
yes.
trying. I think maybe there is some subterfuge going on, especially with the drug cartels, which sort of try to undermine the Zapatistas in some ways as they go through, as the drugs flow through the region.
Yes. Yes.
The importance of organizing on a local level is never more crucial than now. And we look at like what you said, the Rojava, the Kurdish people in Rojava,
Absolutely.
Northern Syria.
Yeah.
I often like to point out that because they were organizing before the state vacated the room,
yeah.
The Syrian government left those regions of Syria to concentrate on fighting the rebels in other parts of the country. That allowed ISIS to try and move into what they perceived as a vacuum. But it was not a vacuum because the people were actually already organizing on the ground and were able to set up a cogent resistance to these warlords who wanted to come in and
Absolutely.
Oppress them in a worse way than probably Assad was oppressing them.
Yeah.
So,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, just to add to that for a minute or so, the Kurdish freedom movement also moved into a vacuum that was created by the collapse of the Ottoman Empire in 1919.
Yeah.
And instead of giving the Kurds a homeland, the three imperial powers carved them up. They gave part of the Kurds to the Iranians, part of the Kurds to the Iraq, part to Syria, and part to Turkey.
Again, colonialist
And left them in a lurch. The same way as the Hungarians were left in a lurch after... World War I, when two-thirds of their country was given to the neighbors, three-quarters of the population also, and this new country was unmanageable, and all of the neighbors were hostile to it. Very similar situation with the Kurds.
Very similar.
And the poor Kurds are, you know, working hard at trying to run themselves, but they're constantly being interfered with in northern Syria, for example, but in other parts of the Middle East.
Well, we have to thank you very much for bringing to our attention the 1919 Hungarian Revolution. It was indeed forgotten. Not a lot of people know about it. So if you want to learn more about it, you can go over to blackrosebooks.com. You can pick up a copy, Forgotten Revolution. In all the finer bookstores in Montreal, you will find it as well. And if you're not in Montreal, go to your local independent bookshop and say you want them to order it. I dare say avoid getting it on Amazon, but if you have no other choice, well, we won't be unhappy. But yeah, you know.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, Andras Gollner. Come on. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
We'll
My
get
pleasure.
Back. Thanks.
Bye.
We'll get back to some music at this point. Good friend, well, not good friend, but someone who passed away some time ago, but I fell in love with the music of Bernie Martin from out of Peterborough, Ontario. Folk musician, artist, has this little track that was covered by a couple of people, which I'll mention later. A little piece called Birth of an Anarchist. Keep it locked, folks. You're listening to the Free Kick Radio Show right here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Refusing authority at different levels. So, like, yeah, government, of course, but for me, it's mostly like between ourselves, like interpersonal relationships must be like devoid of power relationship as much as we can.
Like non-hierarchical, kind of. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Like, for me, it's less about like the political side of it and more about, you know, how you like manage your life with other people, how you, like a way of life.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, great. And who are you guys and what are your names?
I'm Min, and I help out a bike shop here, and there's more to that, but yeah, I'm not sure if I should say it here. But yeah.
It's up to you.
Oh yeah, it's I do a lot of protesting and helping, stuff like that, and for climate mostly, but also like, you know, 1st of May, things like that. So yeah.
And I'm François, and I'm a voluntary at BECAM, Atelier de Vélo Communautaire à l'UQAM, Pavillon Sherbrooke, venez nous voir.
Perfect, thank you so much.
My name is Yelena Vermillion. I am the executive director of Swap Hamilton, and I'm here tabling and speaking at the Anarchist Book Fair.
And what does anarchism mean to you today?
Doing things on your own terms for your communities, providing resources where they are needed, and equitably distributing resources.
Oh, my name's Art. I'm here both as part of the Halifax Anarchist Book Fair Collective, just letting people know that we're also doing a book fair next month in Halifax, and also just here to see some cool stuff. I think it's a politics of like communities of people deciding, making decisions about the things that affect their lives most directly, and having full autonomy to do so. So yeah, that's my answer.
This is Crash. I'm with Submedia, and I think for me, anarchism is about existing in the ways that we can that causes the least amount of suffering possible.
This summer, I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
I have to play these sounds because it makes me feel cooler. Sorry if it makes you want to go to the toilet, though. You are listening, of course, to today's Free Kick Radio Show right here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're talking with people here at the fest. We're hearing voices recorded yesterday by Killian and myself regarding what people think anarchism means to them today. And yeah, we just heard from Fjordan a baby, and before that we heard from Bernie Martin or Turbo doing a Bernie Martin song out of Peterborough. I have some more little snippets to play for you, and hopefully I'll get another couple of people sitting down at the table. But a good time maybe to tell you that you are listening to, of course, the Free Kick Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, here in Jojage, Montreal. And yeah, we're at the Anarchist Book Fair, 2515 Rue de Lille. Lots of great stuff coming up this afternoon. Come on down, check it out. You can check it all out online at anarchistbookfair.ca. Of course, though, you're listening to CKUT 90.3. CKUT.ca is where you get all of our stuff. There's lots of archives, 2 years now of archives available at CKUT.ca. Go on over there, check it out. Lots to listen to, a lot of variety in music, musical styles all over this map at CKUT. And, of course... what else? Yes, the spoken word programming as well is just brilliant stuff. This is not generally a spoken word show today, but today it's a little bit more on the spoken word side. Going to continue with a bit more music, and we'll follow up with a few more people from the fest. Keep it locked, folks. You are listening to the Free Kick Radio Show right here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Anywhere. my name is John, and to me, anarchism means having autonomy over your own life. It means not having rules imposed upon you, and it means gathering together with other people and deciding the way you want to live as a community.
My name is Aaron, and today anarchism is extremely pertinent because we're living through a climate crisis and the pandemic crisis and an economic crisis, like all these crises that are overlapping. I just recently became a parent, which was fun, and I'm thinking about it a lot in terms of what kind of a world do I want to pass down to not only my child, but also, you know, like all the children out there. And I think anarchism allows us to think about future generations and what we want the planet to look like. Anarchism is essentially about prefiguring the kind of society that we want. So building the new society in the shell of the old, some have said. And having a hope that we can have a better future. Right now, I think we have no future. Capitalism gives us no future, and states don't really give us a viable future. And so if we want something, if we want to have a viable society with equality, human dignity going forward, I think that anarchism is really our only hope of doing that, of organizing ourselves into egalitarian societies where we do away with oppressions, where we start taking care of the earth again, start decolonizing, you know, to be inspired by indigenous ways of knowing the earth. That's kind of what anarchism means to me today.
Hi, my name is Rui Philippe. I'm a teacher. I teach economics. And to me, anarchism means order. It means an order that we build together. Contrary to what people might think about anarchism, it's not about not having rules, not having laws, but it's defining together these laws and deciding together how we want to live together, if you want, and do that in a cohesive manner. So it's, I think it's famous anarchist thinker Reclus, French, who said it. Anarchism is the highest expression of order, which I think is very strong, because when you don't need to coerce people to do things, things work pretty well, much better. So yeah, that's what I think anarchism is for. La 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 la. Tu veux bâtir les cités idéales, détruis d'abord des monstruosités. Gouvernement, caserne, cathédrale, qui sont pour nous autant d'absurdités. Sans plus attendre, gagnons le communisme, ne nous groupons que par affinité. Notre bonheur naîtra de l'altruisme, que nos désirs soient des réalités. Debout, debout, compagnons de misère, l'heure est venue, il faut nous révolter. Que le sang coule et rougisse la terre, mais que ce soit pour notre liberté. C'est reculer que d'être stationnaire, on le devient de trop philosopher. Debout, debout, vieux révolutionnaire, et l'anarchie enfin va triompher. Debout, debout, vieux révolutionnaire, et l'anarchie enfin va triompher. Empare-toi maintenant de l'usine, du capital, deviens le fossoyeur. Ta vie vaut mieux que d'être une machine, tout est à tous, rien n'est à l'exploiteur. Sans préjugés, suis les lois de nature, et ne produis que par nécessité. Travail facile ou besogne très dure, nom de valeur quand leur utilité. Debout, debout, compagnons de misère, l'heure est venue. Que le sang coule et rougisse la terre, mais que ce soit pour notre liberté. C'est reculer que d'être stationnaire, on le devient de trop philosopher. Debout, debout, vieux révolutionnaire, et l'anarchie enfin va triompher. Debout, debout, vieux révolutionnaire, et l'anarchie enfin va triompher. On rêve amour au-delà des frontières, on rêve amour au-delà des frontières.
aussi de ton côté. On rêve amour dans les nations entières. L'erreur fait place à la réalité. Oui, la patrie est une balivère. Un sentiment doublé de lâcheté. Ne deviens pas de la viande à caserne. Je ne conscris ni de vos désertés. Debout, debout, compagnon de misère. L'heure est venue, il faut nous révolter. Que le sang coule et rougisse la terre. Mais que ce soit pour notre liberté. C'est reculer que d'être stationnaire.
To me, anarchism is kind of a manifestation of my own optimism. Rather than assuming that everything is terrible and always will be, it's kind of the idea that we can all choose to make a better world by choice without being coerced to do so. So yeah, it's kind of my optimism.
Oh, that's great.
That's an okay answer.
That's a great answer. And who are you? Why are you here today?
I'm Wally.
Hi, I'm Simon, and anarchism today means cooperation and survival in the face of a hopeless future.
My name is Ramsey, and I work at PM Press. Well, anarchism means to me today what it has meant to me what it's always meant, which anarchism is a particular set of theory and practice, which is all about a way of organizing the world in a way which benefits everyone and not the few. If you want the one sentence answer, my definition of anarchism is self-determination of the working class. So I use the terms very deliberately. Self-determination because it means people organizing themselves, not having bosses or hierarchy or party leaders telling you what to do. That's not a form of organization. I mean, well, it is a form of organization. It's a form of hierarchy or domination. And I say the working class because under capitalism we live in a class society. And those that not only need that class society to change, but are also the ones that are going to change it, are the working class. So,
oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Frederick. I'm a settler in Montreal. I think anarchism means an abolition of hierarchy, horizontal leadership, and new beginnings for everyone.
Well, there you have it, folks. We're right down to the wire here on today's Free Kick Radio Show, live from the Anarchist Book Fair. Thank you so much for listening. We just heard a few folks there talking about what their rundown of anarchism is. Before them, we heard from René Bienaimé, famous track. We also heard a few more things, and we heard from also Bube y Mazakani de la Sofita. Yeah, Fjordan Baby was back there as well. So thanks a lot for listening. Come back in 7 days. We'll have much more for you on these brunch time broadcasts. Hopefully I will be live somewhere else from another location. And that sounds great. We're going to finish up with the Boredoms and their version of the Sex Pistols' classic Anarchy in the UK. But this one's called Anarchy in the UKK. So, yeah. Here's a chaotic song. Enjoy. Come back, as I said, in 7 days. Love y'all. Of course, something doesn't want to continue here. So, there we go.
Destroy!
mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line.
MuTech Montreal, the most important festival for digital creativity and electronic music in North America, returns for its 23rd edition at Quartier de Spectacle. From Tuesday, August 23rd to Sunday, August 28th, vibe to the rhythm of more than 100 local and international artists such as Caterina Barbieri, Coro Novoa, Koreatown Acid, Luke Slater, Max Cooper, and Nicola Cruz. MuTech also has a program dedicated to professionals with its MuTech Forum and Market, which consists of 4 days of exchanges and events centered around digital creation. The complete program and tickets are now available at a preferential rate at montreal.mutech.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Ring, 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 CKUT.
Yes.
Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, CKUT. 90.3, take it from me. It's the best, beats the rest, 90.3 CKUT.
Modular Systems. Thanks for tuning in to CKUT 90.3 FM or CKUT.ca online. Today we'll be listening to a guest DJ mix by Montreal artist Fengir. He's a longtime Montreal DJ and producer and one third of the group Grave Index. He runs the record label Ancient Robot, which has released music by fellow Montrealers Gonima and Fade Runner, as well as music by Kamyar Kanzai, Duke Slammer, Fitzroy North, and more. You can hear Fengir on the last Saturday of every month on Data Fruits FM, where he hosts Fengir's Key. His mix today features music by Alpha 606, Ectomorph, More Ellian, Fitzroy North, and much more. So do stay tuned here to Modular Systems until 2 o'clock.